Would you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1? This is, go ahead and stand, that'd be fine, I'm just going to read, but this was the unintended series. While you're turning, I don't have Brother Mike, I didn't give it to Brother Mike, but verse 3 is the theme of the series. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The series is spiritual blessings. And we've talked about chosen, that's a blessing. Predestinated, that's a blessing. The blessing we're going to talk about today is forgiveness. That's a blessing, forgiveness. In verse 7 it says, speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Talking about spiritual blessings. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I want to preach about the spiritual blessing of forgiveness. Let's pause our hearts. Could we do that? Heavenly Father, we pray for an anointing that will have an eternal effect upon our hearts. God, there's individuals in particularly, Lord, all of us, but there are individuals that this is their day of freedom and forgiveness. Move by your Spirit upon them. Help me to preach, Lord, and to share the great blessing of forgiveness. May Jesus, may your presence be in all of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Being a pastor, I read stories about other pastors, and one I particularly like, a pastor said a middle-aged lady made an appointment to see him, to counsel with him. And when he was counseling with her, he said, what's the problem? He could tell she was evidently very disturbed and deeply disturbed. He said, what's the problem? And she said, she's a married lady. She said, 20 years ago, I had an affair. And my husband doesn't know anything about it. And for 20 years, I've kept this from him. And I was wondering, Pastor, if I should tell him. Should I tell him this? And he said, I don't always give this recommendation because it's risky. But he said, I felt prompted of the Lord and I looked at her and I said, sister, you need to tell him. And she said, okay, Pastor, I respect you. I'm going to follow your advice. But she said, if it ruins my marriage, I hold you accountable. He said, when she left, I went to praying. The pastor did. He said, I saw her the next day, and when I saw her, she looked 15 years younger. He said, I asked her immediately, I said, how did it go when you told your husband? She said, you wouldn't believe it. She said, when I told my husband, he looked at me, and he said, I knew it when it happened. He said, I've been waiting 20 years for you to tell me so I could tell you that I love you. And I forgive you. She made this statement. She said, for 20 years I've carried guilt. For 20 years I've been miserable. For 20 years I've carried this burden. And I was already forgiven. I'm telling you, forgiveness is a blessing. To know that you've been forgiven. Listen, I want you to know there are two things that are destroying humans from the inside out. There are two things that are eating alive unbelievers, but believers as well. In fact, there are some in the sanctuary this morning, and this thing is tormenting you and eating you alive. These two things are whatever human spirit needs to feel whole and complete and at peace. You say, what are those two things? Those two things are to be forgiven and to forgive. You'll never know peace. You'll never be whole unless you are forgiven and you forgive. What a blessing in forgiveness. People are suffering the pain, the corrosion of their very spirit, because they're either not being forgiven or they're not forgiven. It's either somebody won't forgive them or they won't ask and accept God's forgiveness. Somebody won't forgive them or there's somebody they have chosen not to forgive. I will not forgive them. I want to give just a brief definition of forgiveness, and this doesn't include all of it, but to forgive is to stop feeling anger towards somebody who has done you wrong. Now, applying to God, it's anger of His holiness to unrighteousness. If we're talking about people in the place of anger, we would put bitterness and hatred. To stop feeling anger and bitterness and hatred towards somebody who has done you wrong, that's forgiveness. I want to tell you, God will do that for you. Will you do that for someone else? Will you forgive them? Amen. I want you to know this morning, we can forgive because of what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross. We can forgive because we have been forgiven. We can forgive, and when we do, we'll be set free. We'll have peace. We will be whole. Amen. Blessed. We started a series of Wednesday nights, and blessed can mean happy. And so when I'm talking about the blessing of forgiveness, I want to use the word happy this morning. And I want to talk first of all about the happiness of receiving forgiveness. The happiness of receiving forgiveness. I want you to ask yourself a question. Will you do that for me all across the building? I want you to surmise something. What if God were unwilling to forgive? Think about that. You see, I want to talk to you just real pointedly here, but it would be painful if you knew you were not forgiven. Have you seen it happen? Maybe it happened to you. It's one of the greatest pains. You go to somebody and say, "Will you forgive me?" And they shake their head no. No. What a pain knowing somebody will not forgive you. What if God would never forgive us? And you see, what I have in mind is, I don't care what age you are, if you're age enough to have a conscience, you may be 90 years old this morning, but there are things in your life that you are so ashamed of. Sins, things you've done to offend God, things you've done against people. You're so ashamed. You either don't want anybody to know about these things, or if they know about them, you don't want them to bring them up. Now, these things could have happened years and years ago, but you're so ashamed of them. No wonder the psalmist cried in Psalm 25, "Remember not the sins of my youth." Maybe it happened in a bedroom. Maybe it happened at work, at school. Maybe it happened even in the secrecy of your own mind. But you don't want folks to know about these things. Even today, you blush to think that you were actually involved, that you actually did something like that. Remember not, oh God, the sins of my youth. Even I want to tell you, we don't need self-esteem. We need forgiveness. That's the biggest need of our heart in life. And I'm telling you, the peace of mind, the joy of living, the sense of holiness comes from the forgiveness, amen, of being forgiven of our shameful past. But the question is, what if there were no forgiveness? Think of those terrible things in your past. What if all these years later you were still guilty before God? He still held them against you. But I want to preach this morning, God does forgive. That merits more of a response than that. I said, God does forgive. And He forgives because of what Christ has done for us. Amen. My forgiveness is what Jesus died for. My forgiveness demanded the very death of Jesus. In Psalm 103, one of my favorite scriptures, the psalmist said, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Now, I rejoice in that. How many joy rejoices in that psalm. He hath not dealt with us. So, but I want to tell you, we need to read this carefully. Just because he has not dealt with us after our sins does not mean that he has not dealt with our sins. He has dealt with our sins. He just didn't deal with us for our sins. He dealt with Christ for our sins. Jesus died that we could be forgiven of our sins. Hallelujah. How and why does God forgive? In our text this morning, it tells us how he can forgive. Let's look at the text again. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. We have forgiveness of sin because of redemption. We throw that word around in churches and forget what it means. What does redeem mean? Well, let's look first of all what forgive means. Forgive means to literally let go. You let go of it. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God let go of our guilt, of our sin? He let it go. Amen. Forgive means to pardon. Pardon. We've been pardoned. Well, what does pardon mean? Well, I want to make clear. You know what it means when a governor pardons somebody on death row or pardons somebody in prison. But I want to make it clear. Pardon never means the person was innocent. When the governor pardons a prisoner, he never says you're innocent. He is saying, though you are guilty, I'm going to let you go free. I want to tell you, when God forgave us, he pardoned us. That didn't mean we were innocent. We weren't. But it means God said, in spite of your doing that, in spite of your being guilty, I let you go free. Forgiveness is when God lets us go because he let it go. And how does he do that? Through redemption. What is redemption? Redemption literally means to exchange something for money. In our terms of forgiveness, what was the money? The money in the Bible is called the ransom. The ransom. Jesus said, I am come to give my life a ransom. The ransom is the money paid to redeem. What was the ransom money of Jesus? It was his very blood. I said it was his very blood. I'm redeemed. My love divine. Oh, glory, glory. Christ is mine. How are we redeemed? Jesus paid the ransom. His blood. Amen. And what was the exchange? He paid the price that we could be redeemed. We could be set free. Listen, most of history, including the Bible times, people understood this perfectly, because in most of history, if you had debts, I'm talking about monetary now, if you had debts you could not pay, you were put in debtor's prison. You were put in a prison and you stayed there until those debts were paid. And amen. That's why in the Bible they understand this redemption. How many knows we all were in great debt of sin? Oh, but we've been redeemed. He's paid the ransom price. Amen. So we could come out of the prison. So we're talking about forgiveness. What does it mean? He let us go because he let it go. Ours. How did he do that? Jesus died on the cross and paid the price that we could be forgiven. Aren't you glad if we confess our sins? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are redeemed. It's what we need, is to be forgiven. Unforgiveness is a prison, but forgiveness is freedom. Before I go on, I want to look at one more phrase, so we won't treat it with justice. In the last part of this verse, if we could go to the verse, there it is. It says, we have forgiveness of sin, hear me, across the building, according to the riches of his grace. I've had folks say, I don't see how God could forgive me. I've heard it this week. I just, if you knew what I had done, if you knew how wicked it was, I don't think God could forgive me. I want to ask you a question. If you're thinking that, are you richer in sin than God is in grace? I don't care how much you've sinned. You're not richer in sin. Actually, it's poor, but you're not richer in sin. You don't have more sin than he has grace. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows where sin did abound? Grace did much more abound. There's more grace than there is sin. Hallelujah. I said there's more grace than there is sin. Even if you say, I can't be forgiven, you know what you're doing? You're demeaning the blood of Jesus, the price that he paid. You're saying, Jesus, your blood isn't valuable enough to pay for my sin. I'm going to tell you, whatever sin you've committed, his blood is more valuable. It'll pay for your, you can be forgiven. Hallelujah. The second blessing is the happiness of asking forgiveness. You know, I comment a lot on our society because we're in trouble, folks. And largely we're in trouble because the church hasn't been the church. And you'll see what I mean in a minute. But I believe there's been a real disservice in our land and in our times. For all these years of secular psychologists and liberal theologians and cowardly crowd-pleasing preachers have gotten rid of the concept of sin. One with the biggest church in America said, I just don't talk about negative things like that. You say, how is that a disservice? How have they done us wrong by getting rid of the word sin from our thinking, our conversation, our preaching, our very mentality? How has that hurt and not helped people to just not mention sin? Amen. Some say there's no such thing as sin anymore. Some, they just try to change the name. It's a fault. It's a mistake. It's a social blunder. Some just refuse to mention it, like the preacher I just mentioned. Have you ever, I shouldn't ask it this, I seriously, have you ever been in a fight with somebody? Let me try to make that better. Have you ever been in a fight with your spouse? No, let's try again. Have you ever been into it with somebody? And you tried to be gracious and say, now Mark, I forgive you. And you know how Mark responds? For what? I ain't done anything wrong. It wasn't me. Have you ever been there? See, if somebody doesn't think they've done wrong, they don't see their need of forgiveness. And so when you take away the concept of sin, you take away people's sense and need of forgiveness. You rid our world of the concept of sin, and people lose the joy and the blessing and the healing of forgiveness, much less they miss heaven. It really works that way. You don't think there's a sin. You don't see a need for forgiveness. You don't ask for forgiveness. You'll never be complete. You'll never be whole. I'm not going to bore you with this, but just real briefly, I want to do something. Because when you read the word sin in your Bible, you may not know this, but there's several different original words that are translated sin. And Brother Mike's going to help me. I'm not going to teach here. I'm not going to preach. But in our text, the forgiveness of sin, the word behind there is parapatoma. Parapatoma, it comes from parabasis, which means stepping over the line. You'll read it in the Old Testament, trespass. You know what trespass is? You're going somewhere you shouldn't. God has set parameters, and when you cross God's parameters, you sin. Another word used for sin, and most of us are familiar with this, is harmatia. Harmatia means to miss the target. You fall short. There's a lot to preach there, but all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. Another word is anomaly. I was thinking about something and I shouldn't have thought about it. I was thinking, you know what I'm thinking about. Sister Victoria, she was testifying. She got her tongue tangled about anomaly. And so I get up here thinking about it and God judged me and I got my tongue tangled. Anomia. It means lawlessness. Here's the law. You say, I don't care what the law says. I'm going to do my thing. Another word. How many knew there was this many words for sin? Boy, we just found out we were worse than we knew we were. Another word is Adikia. Adikia means unrighteousness. God is righteous. We're unrighteous. And just one more. I just want you to know these here. Another is panaria. Panaria means evil. By the way, there's a lot of sin that's just evil, degenerate, and vicious. And you take away this concept from people. You tell them that they're okay and they're all right. That doesn't change a thing, that they've still offended God. And they walk around unforgiven because they don't recognize they need to be forgiven. And their lives are not whole. Did you know even when we sin against people, we sin against God? You cannot sin against people without sinning against God for two reasons. Number one, God created people. They're his people and the sheep of his path. And number two, you can't sin against people without breaking God's laws. Amen. So when we sin against people, we also have sinned against God. I'm not trying to be gruesome. I am just so disturbed of where our world comes from. And listen to what I'm about to say. Amen. The reason we have what I'm about to tell you is because there's no sin anymore. Hear me. But what we're dealing with right now, when a medical worker can cut off the face of an unborn child that's been extracted and take out its brain and not feel like anything is wrong, it's because nothing has been labeled as wrong anymore. And it doesn't matter what they feel or what they've been told, but they have created or they have committed a heinous act, and they'll never know the blessing of forgiveness. They'll never be whole until they realize, I have sinned. And if they'll come to that point, I've done evil, I have sinned, God will forgive them, and they can know the happiness of being forgiven. But until they call it sin, they cannot be forgiven. I want to tell you, it's just simple. God only forgives sins, not mistakes and blood. He forgives sin. And until I call it sin, I cannot be forgiven. You say, how important is that? Well, I want to tell you something. If you don't call viewing pornography sin, you can never be forgiven and delivered of it. Right? Look, I preached last Sunday, some ladies have had an abortion. You come to God, he's got grace. You'll not be a second-rate Christian. You'll be totally forgiven. But until you're willing to call it a sin, you can never know that joy and completeness of being forgiven. We could go down the list. It's not my intention to do that. Amen. Premarital relations, fornication, until you call it sin, you'll be incomplete. You'll be restless. You'll be messed up. You'll be corroded on the inside. But the moment you say, I have sinned, amen, oh Lord, will you forgive me? You can know the joy of forgiveness. But you can't be forgiven until you are willing to call it sin. Amen. I know folks are doing these things with seemingly no sense of conscience, but I don't believe that. I believe down deep people know better. They know they've done wrong. They know they've sinned. They may ignore it. They may drown it out with drugs and alcohol. They may try to deny it. They may try to get rid of the guilt and shame and condemnation, but it can't be done. It's a part of our psyche. It's part of the way God wired our brain and our heart. It's as much a part of our soul as our nervous system is to our body, and it was given for the same reason. God gave your body a nervous system so you'll know it's hot. Get your hand off it before you damage your hand. God put a nervous system in our soul, in our brain. Amen. When we do some sin, some wrong, it goes off saying, leave that alone. Get away from that. Amen. Get out of that. It'll destroy your soul. Amen. Isn't God gracious to give us a guilt and give us a shame and give us a conscience? He's just telling us by that guilt, you've done something wrong, you've sinned, and if you're willing to call it sin, you'll know my great forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah. What would you rather have? Amen. Be lied to and told that it's not sin, and you go around restless, without peace, without completeness, and end up in a devil's hell, or have somebody say the word of God says that's sin. I agree with my conscience, it's sin, and know the forgiveness and the deliverance of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you what. Amen. The answer to America is not in some political candidate for president. The answer in America is that sin be sin and people call upon God for forgiveness of sin. I'll tell you what will bring help to America. It's forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Last of all, this morning, I'm going to talk about the blessing or the happiness of giving forgiveness. Not only can you live in torment because you've never been forgiven, you can live in torment because you're unwilling to forgive someone. Now, I know I've dealt with folks for a long time now. I don't need to keep reminding you that I'm getting old. You can tell it every Sunday as you say. But I've heard people say over and over, well, I can't forgive them because I can't get over it. You ever heard that? And I don't mean, listen, I'm not being facetious by that tone of voice. I'm just trying to illustrate something. I can't forgive them because I can't get over it. That's wrong. That's a lie. The truth is the converse of that. You can't get over it because you won't forgive them. Amen. You say, Pastor, you been reading books or something on forgiveness? Not a one. I just got to reading about this blessing of forgiveness, and it occurred to me one of the greatest blessings you could know is to forgive people who have done you wrong. Amen. Now, I don't know if this fits, but I thought I'd put it in here. Studies show that out of all animals, cats will not forgive. You can apply that however you want. That's scientific research. And if you have a cat, I'm sure he won't forgive me for saying that. I've been talking about the great wonders of the forgiveness of God, but I want to tell you there's a caveat. Jesus made clear that two things are inseparable: God forgiving me and my forgiving others. How many knows that Jesus said they're inseparable? The scripture is clear. I cannot receive forgiveness from God if I am not willing to forgive. Now before, listen, I'm going to get in this and I'll be done in a moment. But before you start saying, well, Pastor, you're just talking mean and hateful and you're just trying to. No. I'm talking about the greatest blessing that could happen to you this morning. And that's if you've been harboring something in your heart. Quit saying, I can't forgive because I can't get over it. Start saying this morning, the truth of the matter is, I can't get over it because I can't forgive. And if you would let God give you grace to forgive that person, you would leave here free. You'd leave here blessed. You'd leave here with the joy bubbling up from within. Jesus made clear the two are inseparable. Just one location in Scripture. He was talking about how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. And he says, you ought to pray this way, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive me in their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Here it is. But if you forgive not me in their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It is those who know the blessing of being forgiven who are free to forgive. We can forgive others because we know that God has forgiven us. I remember a few years ago up in Pennsylvania when that man went to that Amish school and slaughtered those Amish girls. I remember what happened when those Amish got a ride into town and went to the house to that man's wife and said, we forgive. How did they do it? How many parents ask yourself that question? How did they do it? How could they forgive that killer of their daughters? I'm telling you, they recognize something. We can forgive others because God has forgiven us. Hallelujah. How did they forgive the one that killed their child? Because God forgave the one that killed his child. Hallelujah. It was our sins that crucified him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we can forgive because we've been forgiven. In a Ephesians, it says forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. Oh, I'm talking about freedom. Hallelujah. Christ has forgiven me. I can forgive others. Amen. Listen to me. I'm about done, but listen. Amen. Some folks will say, there are some things that are so heinous, so horrible. What about sexual abuse? I want to make something very, very clear. To forgive is not to say it's okay. To forgive is not to say it wasn't bad. To forgive is not to say it's all right. No, it's the very opposite. To forgive is to say it's sin, it's wicked, it's ugly, it's harmful, it's destructive. Amen. To forgive isn't to okay it. To forgive is to say, even though it was horrible and bad and sinful, I let it go because he let me go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can forgive because he has forgiven. And I want to say one more time, in case just reading it wasn't enough. If we do not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. And I'm thinking, I should have thought this through. It's not in notes. But let me say it, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Mark refuses to forgive Devona for something she said about him right before church. You're not going to forgive her. And so he turns, let me be God for a minute. He turns to God and says, God, forgive me.
God, forgive me.
He said, you don't look like God, okay. It's not that God says,
no. You don't forgive her, I'm not going to forgive you.
It's not that at all. It said, if he's not willing to forgive Sister Rose, excuse me, I didn't mean to use your first name. It came out of the blue. I'm preempting a rebuke after church. Let me move back over here. Now I got two coming. It's not God said I won't refuse you. It's that if Mark is not willing to forgive Sister Rose, then Mark will never be in a place in his heart, in his life, to be forgiven.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm not lying to you because I'm trying real hard to quit. But music, go ahead and come. That'll help me. I know there's a popular kids movie that's made real popular with the song To Let It Go. It's not the same thing. That's just a baseless, foundationless, just shrug it off kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Let It Go because Jesus died on a cross. And when you realize something, when you realize he suffered horribly to forgive you, then you also realize he suffered horribly to forgive them. And if he is willing to suffer to forgive them, then certainly you can forgive them and let it go on the basis of what he has done. Some say, I just can't believe God will forgive me. That's a problem with faith. Believe. Others will say, I just can't forgive them. That's a problem with stubbornness. Amen. And pride. Amen. Because when I realize what he did for me at the cross, there is no pride. Amen. There is no stubbornness. How can I be unwilling to do for others what he has done for me? I've told you before, but years ago, a man was dying in the hospital. I didn't know him. His family asked me to go see him. They'd already had to amputate parts of his body. He was in desperate shape, had just hours or days to live. And I knew the story. I knew that he was estranged from one of his sons. And I walked in there, and there was some real interest there at first. You know, I told him, I said, the doctor comes in to check about your body. I'm here to talk to you about your soul. And I began to share the gospel. And finally I said, wouldn't you like to be forgiven and to know that if you left this life, you would go into the presence of the Lord? He said, yes, I would. And I said, well, then, just if you'll allow me, I said, let me tell you a little story. And I told him Jesus' story. I won't go into the details, you know, about the parable about the man that was brought in before the king, and he owed the king $1 million. And king was going to put him in prison. He begged, and the king said, oh, well, forget the debt. I'll let it go. You can go free. And the same man that had been forgiven $1 million went out and found a fella that owed him $5. Pay me. I can't. He took him by the throat, was going to strangle him. When the king found out about it, the man that owed $1 million, he said, I forgave you $1 million, and you wouldn't forgive that man $5? I told that story, and then I said, because I knew the background. He didn't know I knew the background, but I knew the background. And I said, listen, if there's somebody that you're holding something against, you cannot be forgiven and go to heaven if you don't forgive them. I'll never forget. It was one of the worst things I've ever seen. A darkness and an ugliness came over his face, and he turned his face away from me and said, well, I guess I won't ever go to heaven then, because I ain't forgiven him. And went into eternity. That's needless if you look at the cross. If he's forgiven me, I can forgive. Would you go ahead and stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Could I tell you one more just little story? Amen. Seminary professor got word. 34-year-old son on an October day was in his restaurant that he owned, and four young men came in, tried to break into the safe, and it protectively jammed, and they tried to break into the cash register. It protectively jammed because they couldn't get any money. Three of them ran out the door, and the fourth turned around as he jumped over the counter, pointed his gun at the seminary professor's son and shot him dead. The seminary professor said, I struggle with that as any father would. He said, I was so devastated. But he said, I felt God dealing with me, so I wrote him a letter in prison. He said he never responded for 2 years. And when he responded, he said, dear pastor, he said, I didn't respond because I've got so much hate mail. And people that I didn't even know if they were real people or that was their real name. I thought this was a farce, that it was really from you. But he said, after 2 years, I decided to respond. And others that he said, 17 years old, he said, I grew up in church with all my life. And he said, and they're presumptuous. But he said, thank you for forgiving me. Can you keep praying for me? He said, this is getting to me. He said, I don't think I can go on with life. In other words, suicidal. Pastor seminary teacher said, when he got the letter, God got to deal with him even more. He said he wrote the prison and asked to be put on the prison visitation list for that young man. Began to write him letters. Began to go to see him. He forgave him. Began to try to win him for the Lord. They asked him why. And he began to cry. He said, because one day I want to see that 17-year-old boy that killed my son. I want to see him hug my son in heaven. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the blessing of forgiveness? Let's thank him. If you're glad you're forgiven, would you thank him across the building? Usually it's the devil that wants you to think of your shameful past, and don't go in the details. Just think of the fact of it. Amen. Think of the shameful past that God has forgiven you of. Aren't you glad for it? Hallelujah. You say, I don't have a shameful past. You're in the worst shape of anybody in this house. You'll never be forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many can lift hands and say, I know the joys of having been forgiven. Oh, just wave it. Amen. I'm free. I'm free to worship. He let me go because he let it go. Hallelujah. Father, help us in this altar call to be honest. Help us to be open. Help souls to be set free. Hallelujah. I don't know how you want to do this. I've just delivered my heart on this. But I felt increasingly, I never planned to go this route, but I felt increasingly that there's some folks here today that are in such bondage and misery because they simply will not forgive. Amen. I know it'd be a hard answer call or altar call to answer. But if you need to forgive, would you begin to come to this altar? Usually we ask people to come to the altar if they need forgiven. But I'm going to ask you to come to the altar this morning if you need help forgiving. You say, folks will think bad of me. No, because everybody in this house has been in that place that they found it difficult to forgive. You say, they haven't asked me yet. They haven't said they're sorry. We're going to forget that a moment. It's between us and God. I wonder if any would begin to come and say, I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about being healed and having peace. I'm talking about God at work in your life. You say, I'm coming this morning because I need to forgive. Would you come right now? Would you come right now? Anywhere, all over the building, it should be folks all over the building. I just need to forgive. I just need to forgive. It's so hard. I need to forgive. I know that, thank God for these that are coming. There's others this morning. There's others. Amen. And this isn't psychological gobbledygook, but sometimes we won't forgive ourselves. Are you hearing me? If you're hearing me, wave at me. Sometimes the person we need to forgive is ourselves. I want to ask you one question. I don't mean this to sound facetious, but if God has forgiven you, who are you not to forgive you? Anyone else like to join these? There's others that need that release in your spirit, that freedom. You need to forgive. Are there others? Would some come and pray with these that are coming? Hallelujah. In fact, let's all come. Come and pray for these, or just ask God's word to be a living thing in your heart. Would you come, church? Let's fill these altars. Thinking for forgiveness. Ask for the help to forgive whatever the need is. Amen. He'll help you forgive yourself. You can forgive yourself because He has forgiven you. I mean, this is for real. This isn't psychology. It's not any of that. This is real. It's rooted in the history of Jesus dying on the cross. It was the redemption for the forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Come on. Can you really forgive this morning? Amen. Church, let's pray. I feel a resistance to what God wants to do in this altar this morning. Let's pray, church, right now. God, you're all about forgiveness. Lord, you want to see folks liberated this morning. Jesus, you have died on the cross not only to forgive us, but that we could forgive. And in forgiving, we are healed. In forgiving, we are set free. In forgiving, we are made whole. In forgiving, we find peace. Lord, move across this building with your spirit. Lord, move on our hearts with your spirit. I can forgive because I have been forgiven. I can forgive because I have been forgiven. Hallelujah. That sin against me, He died for that sin too. He died for that sin too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek Him. Let's seek Him in the building.
Oh, I want to be different, Jesus, just like you. I want to be
let the difference be love.
I want to be different, Jesus, just like you. I want to be tender with mercy guiding all I do. So when others talk about me, let it be because I am different. Let the difference be love.
He lets you go. He'll help you to let that thing go. He forgave you.
Jesus,
He'll enable you to forgive.
Like you, I want to be tender.
Oh, let's pray, church. Let God work in our hearts.
All I do, so when others talk about
hallelujah.
Me, let it be because I am different. Let the difference be love.
Oh, let the difference be love.